This is Dairy Radio Now, a rundown of the latest dairy news across America with Bill Baker.
Round two of the renegotiation talks regarding the North America Free Trade Agreement are in the books.
I am pleased to report that we have found mutual agreement on many important issues.
U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer in Mexico City after round two of NAFTA talks.
By the end of this round, we will have tabled over 24 chapters, and I look forward to continued progress in round three and the ones that follow.
But for the most part, uneventful, according to those included in the talks. With dairy, the U.S. took aim at Canada's dairy supply and demand management system. Meanwhile, the cattle industry may also have a beef with the renegotiation talks, that is, if anything changes. Colin Woodall is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Do not mess with the beef and cattle access provisions of NAFTA because it works. And more importantly, get this done as quickly as possible because markets do not like uncertainty, so we need to make sure that we know exactly what NAFTA is going to look like moving forward.
There's a lot going on with Congress and the Trump administration right now, so the question is, can they stay focused on these NAFTA renegotiations?
I think they can, and our experience so far has been they do listen to the industries who are engaged here, so they're listening to us, and right now it's just a major matter of us staying in touch with them and giving them counsel as they continue to go through these negotiations.
The next round of NAFTA negotiation talks takes place later this month in Ottawa, Canada. Now this.
Cottonseed in your dairy ration could mean more cash in your pocket because cottonseed's high fat content makes it an excellent source of energy for milk production. Plus, it can increase the butterfat content of the milk your cows produce. Add it up, and it all means better milk in the tank and more money in your bank.
To get the most out of your feed, just add cottonseed.
Feed your bottom line. Order online at wholecottonseed.com.
Putting an effective succession plan in place, one of the biggest challenges facing every dairy operation and farm family. Scott Tyke is with Lincoln Financial Advisors Agribusiness Services.
The hard part is that they work, 20 hours a day. They don't always find the time to do what's important, like making sure that their retirement is protected, their family's protected, and their land. Numerous families we work with are trying to pass down the ranch to their kids, but unfortunately they don't know how to do it. And that would be the succession planning and the estate planning. Because they said, I got a will and a trust. Well, that doesn't always work because they have 3 and 4 and 5, 6 kids and one or two of them work and the others don't. So mom and dad are a little concerned.
He says there are different scenarios when handing down the family farm to the next generation.
Guess what? Their kids all don't have the same idea. And that's the tough one. And so the way we look at it, if you have, over 4 kids or more, fair is not always equal because you have someone who's working and someone who's not. And if mom and dad are gone, one of the children says, I need to be bought out. And they said, I don't have the money because I don't want to parcel up the land.
Yeah.
So we've got different planning ideas that you can look at depending on their goals.
And what are some of those next step options?
He can lease the land. He can run the operation and just pay them an income stream. And it just really depends on what the landowner wants to do. Oftentimes there's other opportunities out there to get an income stream from other areas, whether it be wind or solar, or you name it. You just never know what's out there. But the key is to keep it. And I think that 99% of the people, or 100, want to do that.
That's Scott Tyke, estate and succession planning specialist with Lincoln Financial Advisors. The northwest part of the United States feels like it's up in flames with over 80 large wildfires burning in Montana and other western states and ash falling in big cities like Seattle and Portland. High winds have fueled a big fire in Montana that's been burning for a couple of months now, with over 1.4 million acres burned so far out west.
This has been a very above normal to extreme fire season for most of the western states.
Jessica Gardetto is with the National Interagency Fire Center.
Montana has definitely had an extreme fire season, and these last couple of weeks they've had continued high winds as well. So a lot of these large wildfires that have been burning for over a month, for example, the Rice Ridge Fire, which is 100,000 acres, has been burning since July 4th. And a lot of these other large fires in Montana have been burning for almost a month or just under a month. And it's just been a lot of fire activity in that state for most of the summer now.
Montana governor declared a drought emergency months ago, saying it's really one of the worst drought-type conditions that they've experienced in quite a long time. Stay with us for the latest news from the dairy industry. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.